my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, wrestling fans, welcome to episode 103 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. I am on the road again, but this time I have somebody with me, Heath Hatton from Stride Pro Wrestling. We are actually on our way back from a show in Southern Illinois in Pinckneyville, USA Championship Wrestling, and Stride Pro kind of did a, I guess, kind of a cross promotion. We did crown a new Stride Pro Wrestling Legacy Champion, the very first, in Jerry Travelstead tonight. A great show overall.
It was a really good show. A huge crowd, a lot of people, a lot of our Stride fans made it over. It was a very successful night.
And Jerry Travelstead, of course, we know him as T-Dog. He and Tony Flood had an incredible ladder match. You yourself also got in there and wrestled for the USA Heavyweight Championship, although Kevin Zion, the champion, played some dirty pool and ended up getting disqualified. Are you disappointed about that?
I'm very disappointed. My head probably was more focused. Usually I wouldn't let somebody make that mistake, so I would say my head was probably more focused on next week, and I may have overlooked this week a little bit. And some guys play dirty and cheat, and I'm sure there'll be another match with Kevin Zion down the road.
Yeah, and speaking of dirty and cheating and next week, it is you and Axe Allward in a Falls Count Anywhere match for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. And this is an opportunity that doesn't come around very often, and I would imagine you have been training and preparing for this, even though you and Axe have quite a storied history.
I mean, I was pretty much told that this is my last shot for a while. You know, there's going to be no opportunities for me to earn another title shot. And so, you know, I know it's my last, like, ditch effort, I guess you could say. And if I don't pull it out, then, you know, I'm pretty much done. So going for the Stride belt for a while, as long as Axe holds it.
Yeah, it is the Red Bird Rumble. It's happening at West Frankfort High School. And first time that Stride has really gone on the road. Are you excited about that, getting out of the mall in Marion and getting in front of a different crowd this time at West Frankfort High School?
Very much. Why I wrestle anymore is I like doing stuff for charity and for kids, and you know, I wrestle now for that reason. You know, your boy Goldberg said it best when he came back. You know, you feel like a superhero and you do this for the kids, and that's really honestly why I do it. You know, so the fact that we're able to take Stride on the road and do a charity show and do something for a good cause is the reason why I do this. And so the fact that Stride is now getting to go on the road and go to a school and maybe hit some different fans we haven't seen is very exciting.
Yeah, here in Illinois, and I don't want to get political with this, but there are a lot of budget issues with the state, and schools, quite honestly, are the ones that are suffering as a result. So Stride is stepping up and doing this fundraiser show at West Frankfort Community High School on Saturday night, November 12th. It's a stacked card already. The tag team titles are going to be up in a very unique style match as well. It's a fatal four-way. Jay Spade and Joey O'Reilly defending against some really tough competition. And, you know, Stride has come so far in such a short amount of time. Are you surprised by the success that the company has had so far?
No, I'm not really say surprise. I guess I'm surprised at how quickly it has. You know, I put a lot of faith in Heath Hatton as the wrestler and my character, but I put a lot of faith in the Farmer Billy Hills and the Red Daniels and the Chris Hargis and Tony Floods. I put a lot of faith in those guys, and I don't think, for the longest time, I kind of felt like the same three people really was pushed in Southern Illinois' throat to push the company. And I don't want to be that. I want Southern Illinois to see how great Farmer Billy Hills is. I want them to see how great Jake Capone is and Roger Mathis. And, you know, there's so much talent. And I think the people are seeing it, and they're coming back to see it. And I've said it a million times that fans don't buy tickets to watch wrestling. They don't. And fans buy tickets to watch stars and to be entertained by these stars and to see characters. And Stride has done such a good job, I think, of building characters and building superstars, and people are paying to see it.
Yeah, that development has come, as we mentioned, a long way since March when that very first show was held at the Illinois Star Center Mall. And it's great to see fans. We do get a lot of familiar faces back every month, and you know, they're following us on Facebook. The Facebook social media aspect of things has really grown as well. The pictures, amazing photos by Steve Belcher, and we're able to post those and get a lot of response. Let's talk a little bit. We talk about you preparing for Axe Allward and the Stride Heavyweight Championship. Now, you were a former Pro Wrestling Collision Heavyweight Champion. You've held titles in other promotions before. I want to talk to you, though, a little bit about AAPW back in the day. It's been about 4 years now, 4 years last month. You wrestled Adam Pearce for the NWA Heavyweight Championship. That, to me, had to probably be one of the more surreal moments of your career. It was one of my most surreal moments calling that match because it was for the NWA Championship. I remember Harley Race and Ric Flair and the Briscoes, Kerry Von Erich, Dusty Rhodes, all holding that title. What was it like wrestling for that championship?
It was very exciting. I mean, that was really when, I guess you could say, when things started taking off for me, and I was really busy, and I was, you know, on the road. But it was like, what was surreal to me was, you know, Adam Pearce was in the middle of the Seven Levels of Hate with Colt Cabana. Like, they were right in the thick of it, and it was getting so much buzz. And then all of a sudden, like, I was doing so many interviews and podcasts, and anybody who knows me knows that, like, I am so bad at promos. Like, I mean, it is like, I'm like Ricky Bobby. I don't put my hands. I stare. I look lost. And so I'm cutting all these promos, and I'm getting online, and I'm looking, and they've got, like, 3,000 views, and people are giving comments about how bad I suck. Like, you know, I don't know. So, but it was such a great learning experience. And when I was there, I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, and then he shows up, and the crowd was full, it was packed, and, you know, and then I kind of felt like we had a really good match, and people to this day tell me, like, I just watched you and Adam Pearce, and it was awesome, and I kind of felt like it was a really good match, and I took away from it, you know, Adam Pearce is now, you know, a trainer at WWE, you know, and I think he's now an agent, and, you know, he sat down and talked to me, and he took me out to eat after, and I took him out to eat, actually, and, you know, and he taught me so much, and the match itself was, like, I still go back and I still watch it, but at that time, like, that was the same year I was on the pay-per-view, and that was the same year, like, I did the TNA thing, and that was, I mean, it was, so much happened that calendar year, and it was almost surreal. It was almost like, my thing is, I've always said I've never paid to wrestle a name, and I've never begged to be a champion. I've never, you know, asked somebody to put me in these matches. And the fact that, you know, Chris Hagstrom, you know, he approached me and he asked me to wrestle Adam Pearce, you know, it was like, I always feel like, you know, I've done it the right way. I've always done what I'm told, and I was rewarded with that match. And I'm still very thankful to Chris and, you know, Sean and, you know, Ed, everybody at AEPW that trusted me with that match. And, you know, Edmund McGuire was the first one to hug me when I came through the match. It was like, that was awesome. So, you know, that's what I took away from that.
Yeah, hard work and dedication does pay off. I know sometimes people don't believe that, and it's not
a sprint by any means. It is a marathon, no matter what you're trying to achieve in life. And don't give up. And, you know, I know people think it sounds cliche. You know, it's the John Cena, Super Cena slogan. But you mentioned earlier, and, you know, for you fans that have listened to this show over the last 103 episodes, Heath is now the champion of guest here because this is his fourth appearance on the show. And I think one of the first times we talked, it was about kind of your experience with WWE. And you did wrestle in a handicap match at Extreme Rules 2012 against Ryback. How does that opportunity even happen? I mean, we're here in Southern Illinois, a very small rural community. Independent wrestling at that time was coming around with AAPW, of course, but you had been out there doing it for a short period of time. But how does one go from wrestling in front of, you know, a couple dozen fans to a pay-per-view WWE event?
I think that to me, how I got there is, you know, I've always just, I don't take no for an answer. I'm a very driven person. You know, whenever people tell me I couldn't play sports in college, and I did it. And I, you know, it sounds cliche and it sounds stupid, but, you know, I was the only freshman who didn't get to dress on the JV basketball team. And I played more minutes on, you know, varsity as a junior than I played on JV as a sophomore. And so I guess to me it's just, you know, my dad always taught me never take no for an answer. But to answer your question, I met the right people, and I'm very big, you know, I have the training school, the Strive School, and my number one rule is you keep your eyes and your ears open and your mouth shut, and you're polite to people and you treat them nice, and you work your butt off, and you work your butt off in the gym, as you know, and then you work your butt off in the ring, and you try to learn, and you realize, like, you always have more to learn. And, you know, basically, a long story short is I met somebody who knew somebody who passed my name on, and, you know, when they called me, I thought it was a joke, and I thought that, you know, I had missed a call and had a voicemail that said who they were. But when I got there, believe it or not, I was not there to do the Ryback gimmick. Somebody else was. And that person no-showed.
Oh,
did
wow.
Not show up. And so there was me and another guy there who were not booked for the Ryback gimmick. And I asked Bill DeMott if I could do it. And he's like, do you want to do it? And I said, yes, I would like to do it. And they let me get in the ring, and I went over the spot. Well, the guy who was supposed to do it ended up showing up, and it was Ryback who said, let this guy do it.
And referring to you.
Yes. And so, you know, I had already practiced it, and I had come up with some ideas, and it was really cool. I can remember, you know, me telling, you know, Ryback, this would look cool, and he's like, I like that. And so they really took my input and for a couple things, and it was not, you know, it was a 7-minute spot, but
yeah.
And they let me do it, and, you know, there's so much I took away from it, and I got to come back again, and then that led to, you know, how you talked about the Adam Pearce thing, that led to a private tryout that I got to go to for 5 days. So it was very, you know, that opened up the door, and really I didn't know what to expect. I just showed up and I kept my mouth shut, and I was very polite, and I was, you know, I told him I'm very thankful, and, you know, and, you know, Bill DeMott, you know, he was so good to me, and, you know, and he really helped me out a lot when I was there.
You mentioned, you know, obviously it's important to be driven and have that desire and not try to stand up. You know, you saw an opportunity and you put yourself in there. You know, we were talking earlier, you know, I didn't have the balls tonight to approach Bushelwhacker Luke, who was the guest at this event, and ask him for a simple picture. But you are going in there with WWE legends, WWE superstars, up-and-comers, trainers, and whatnot, and you're saying, give me this opportunity. So how do you muster up the courage to do that? I mean, you obviously, you said earlier, you don't take no for an answer. So has that just been part of your mantra to just, you know, I see something I want and I'm going to go for it no matter what the consequences may be?
I don't know if it's that or it's just like, you know, if you remember Stone Cold when he kicked Matt Cross out of Tough Enough,
uh-huh.
So that was your shot, you know, and you didn't do it. And there is no other shot. And I knew there was no other shot. And I knew, you know, I was there, you know, and why not do it, you know? And, you know, I didn't care. I mean, the reason why they didn't want me to do it, I think, was tattoos, and, you know, but I didn't care. I just, I you know, to me, you know, some guys actually, a lot of guys told me, like, I killed my indie credit, and, you know, I was at the time big in APW, and, you know, and they were like, oh, you killed. And I was actually really busy at this time of year, and they were, you killed your buzz, you killed what you had going, and now you're a jobber. But to me, it was, I'm a kid from North City, Illinois. My graduating class had 40 people, and in that town, there's only a certain few that, like, my high school baseball coach, Jim Tucker, like, he would always tell me, like, you're going to do great things. Like, you have the personality, like, you have, like, you are going to do great things. And, but a lot of people there, when you grow up in a small town, they don't, I feel like they don't give you hope, you know, like, people go to school there, and they come back, and they coach JV football there, or they come back, and they work at the bank, which is fine, but, like, to me, like, when I was standing there, I was like, I could come here and leave, and nobody will ever know that I was here. And so I had the opportunity, I took it, and so now it's, I jobbed on a pay-per-view for 7 minutes, but that pay-per-view is on DVD, it's on the WWE Network, and, you know, in my hometown, people still talk about it, and it was a big deal, and to this day, people still talk about it, and it's something that, like, know, I got a big, huge blow-up picture of it, and I got the pay, and I got, like, the script they gave me. I got everything still, and, you know, it, to me, it was, I was there. I was going to seize the moment. I was going to make sure that it's something I remembered for the rest of my life.
I mean, yeah, and that's something you'll show your grandkids one day. I mean, that is something to be proud of, and, you know, I can still remember, you know, you mentioned Chris Hagstrom earlier. Chris and I were together at a show in Indiana driving back, and we got the text that you were going to be on. And, of course, we watched it. He was recording it at home. This was before WWE Network. But how proud we both were and excited, you know, and how much we wished we were able to watch it right then and there. But that is such a great and amazing accomplishment. I mean, I would imagine as a kid growing up, you never, I mean, did you ever think, hey, one day I'm going to be one of these guys?
No, not really. I mean, to be honest, like, my mom talks about it to this day. Like, I was a kid who was in the eighth grade. Now, mind you, 13 years old, and I probably had 100 wrestling action figures, and I played with them. I had the ring and the cage, and I had 3 bone-crushing buddies. I had a Macho Man Randy Savage, a DDP, and a Hulk Hogan, and I wrestled them. I mean, I'm talking, I could probably my freshman year, I was probably doing frog splashes off my bed. And, you know, and, like, but back then, wrestling never was cool. And mind you, like, I was all conference, you know, 3 years in high school. I was, you know, basketball. I was homecoming dance king, red and white dance king. I was very, I won't say popular, but I can remember Sam Hamlin. You know him as Sam Hunter. He's a GM at Stride. And, like, me and him would stay up. I would get home from basketball games or baseball games, and me and him would get on MSN Messenger. We would talk about wrestling until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. We had a computer class, and, like, I didn't, like, all my friends were athletes, but I couldn't wait for that class so me and Sam could sit down and talk about wrestling. And it's funny that it's happening now, but I'll never forget, like, he came running down to my class, and he's like, Tyler, guess what? And I was like, what? And he's like, Goldberg's going to be on wrestling tonight, because he knew when I was a kid, I loved Goldberg. And he's like, you got to watch, Goldberg's going to be on there tonight. And he was on there, and, like, You know, Sam was always kind of my smart, and, you know, internet wasn't big back then, but, like, Sam knew about everything wrestling related. And so I knew then that, like, I wanted to be a wrestler. I just didn't know how to go about it. And then once it happened, like, I had said, Toby Brown, he was an editor that covered, a sports editor that covered me in high school, did a lot of sports things for me. He was really great to me. And he did an article on me when I started wrestling, and he asked me, he said, like, what is your goal? And I said, the only goal I have is I want to set foot in a WWE ring. whether it's a tryout or whether it's, I said, I don't know how to get there, but that's where I want to get. And the other day, like, he shared that to me, and he's like, you remember this? And it's like, it's so funny. I believe that if you set a goal, it's up to you to accomplish it. I feel like being a WWE superstar was a dream of mine, and I feel like a dream, you have to have luck, and there has to have things fall into place. But I feel like a goal is something that, like, you have to bust your ass and work hard to accomplish. So my goal was to set foot in the WWE ring. My dream was to be a WWE superstar. But, you know, I have a kid, I have a family, and, like, you know, I'm older now. That dream is gone. But, like, every goal that I have set in wrestling, I've achieved, you know. And at one point, I held 3 heavyweight titles at one point. And so, you know, I feel like I've accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish.
So let's bring this full circle and talk about accomplishments. The one thing you have not done yet is win that Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight title. So how important is this match? I know you said, you know, Axe and Jay Wellington Beauregard, Axe's manager, have kind of put the stipulation out there and put the pressure on Sam Hunter, the Stride Pro Wrestling GM. You know, you don't win Saturday night, you don't get another shot, at least not for any time in the foreseeable future. So there's a whole other list of hungry contenders there, too. Chris Hargis comes to mind, and Farmer Billy Hills, as you mentioned. You know, there's a lot of competition in the locker room. So how important is this match, and how important is it to you win? And then, what's next? If you do win, like I said, there's going to be guys beating down the door. You have basically a bullseye then put on your back.
I feel like it's so important to me to win this belt, because from the beginning, I felt like Sam, you know, started, you know, came GM Astride. He wanted me to, you know, carry it and push it. And, like, I feel like I haven't. And I feel like, again, like, it was, you know, the fatal 4-way was set for me to shine, and I let him down. And since then, it's been one failure after another and one failure after another. So I feel like I owe it to Sam, and I owe it to the fans, you know, that have came and, you know, they promote and they push and they want me to win the title, and I just haven't. And so I owe it to them. And second, I mean, there's a long list of people, but I rise to the, you know, I rise to the challenge when it comes to competitors and challengers. I embrace it. I like it. I mean, I want to fight, you know, Homicidal Steven Davis for the belt. Like, if I'm a champ, I want to be a fighting champ. I'm not, in my whole life, I've never been scared of anybody, whether it's sports or whether it's fighting or whether it's wrestling. No matter who you are, if you're in there with me, like, okay, I'm ready to go, and I'll give it everything I got. And, you know, and Axe knows that he has to pretty much kill me to beat me, and he has to do everything he can to beat me. And I feel like everybody knows that. And, you know, there's Roger Mathis, and there's Jay Capone, and there's Red Daniels, and there's just a long list of people, Tony Flood, that are, you know, going to want the belt if I have it. And so, but I've been a champion so many times, and I've held so many different belts. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I held Strictly Insane's belt for a year. I held SSCW's belt for 8 months. You know, I held a belt in Kentucky for 6 months. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I embrace that.
Does this being a specialty match, Falls Count Anywhere, does that throw any sort of concern your way, or are you confident in this?
I like it for the reason that I know what to expect now. You know, I know what to prepare for. I know what to watch, you know, and I know that he's got people that have his back, and I know that Damage Incorporated is going to be there, but, you know, I know that I got friends, and I've made some calls, and hopefully I got some people to watch my back. And, you know, Axe knows that one-on-one, man-to-man, like, he cannot beat me, and, but I know that he thinks in his mind, I cannot beat him. So it really comes to a head. I mean, it started out, most people don't know, I beat Axe probably the first 20 times I've wrestled him, and now he's probably on a 7 or 8 match winning streak. And so a lot of people think that he's just got me figured out. He knows the formula. And I feel like I got something for him. I feel like he doesn't have it, that I still got a lot more up my sleeve.
Yeah, as Rowdy Roddy Piper used to say, when they think they know the answer, I change the question. Heath Hatton, good luck to you. It is this Saturday night, November 12th, 7 p.m. bell time at West Frankfort Community High School. We'll have all the information in the link section here on jitterymonkey.com as well as iTunes. Heath, as always, a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Fans, we will see you there. And also, I want to remind you, if you like the show, if you don't like the show, give us a rating and a review on iTunes. Head on over and leave your thoughts. And for my 123 Cents the podcast, this is Kevin Huntsberger. We'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.